Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
So I have this theory that the wisest man on Family Dynamics who ever lived was named Bill Watterson. And if that name doesn't ring a bell, it's Bill Watterson is the creator, author, and illustrator of the famous comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. Please raise your hand if you know what Calvin and Hobbes is. Thank you. I just want to be affirmed that this is the greatest comic strip, tied with The Far Side, greatest comic strip of all time. But unfortunately, it's not running anymore in the Sunday paper. Now, my mother loved me so much that for Christmas a few years ago, she bought me a 60-pound volume of every Calvin and Hobbes cartoon that has ever been printed. And it's probably the heaviest thing that we had to move down from Kansas, because there are so many of those. Now, I was perusing through Calvin and Hobbes and the Bible very close to the same time, which is very appropriate, by the way, the same time the other day, and I came across this scripture verse, which is just one of three that we have for today, for Mother's Day. This is about our own human behavior that Paul writes in the letter to the Romans. Romans 7, 14 through 15. And Paul writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." And how many of us have ever found ourselves in that situation, especially when we're immature or when we're kids or immature even as adults, when we find ourselves actively doing something that we know is just not part of God's plan. We are actively engaging in things that we know are not the right things to do, yet we still do it because that's what our body needs, or that's what we feel like we need, or we're craving, and it just goes along the lines of not doing what our mother asked us to do. And Bill Watterson, through the character of Calvin, says it this way. He's talking to Hobbes and says, "Mom and Dad say I should make my life an example of the principles that I believe in, but every time I do that, they tell me to stop." And furthermore, actually, in a couple of comic strips down in the book, my big collection of it, Calvin later tells Hobbes, "I asked Mom if I was a gifted child when I was little, and she said they certainly wouldn't have paid for me." But I wonder, though, like most of us, as Calvin has grown up, obviously Calvin and Hobbes has been out of print for at least 5 years now, and as Calvin has grown up, possibly into teenager, and then when he gets into adulthood, I wonder if he'll ever think back and say, "Yes, my mom was absolutely right about me. I was a very special child. I was hard to deal with. Mom, I'm so sorry for everything." Have you ever had that moment where you go to your mother and you just apologize for everything that happens? And usually it doesn't happen instantaneous. Usually it's once you have kids and they start doing everything that you used to do that now drives you crazy, and you go to your mom and say, "Yes, Mom, I apologize for 18 years of existence under your roof." But in that same vein, when you realize that, how many of you then start to realize that you say things like, "Because I said so," "Because I'm the mom"? How many of you parents or mentors in here have ever found yourself saying, "You will be grounded for the rest of your life if I ever catch you doing that"? And the thing is that you think you mean it, just like you thought your mom and dad meant it so many years ago, that you were going to be grounded for life. And then the scariest part about that realization is when you say, "If I ever catch you doing that," and just 5 years ago in college, you were the one doing that. Some of you, we can go maybe 20 years ago or something like that. But I'll say 5 for everybody, just to make you feel good. Because when we're little or when we're immature, what we quote unquote need trumps any kind of social decorum or abidance to Jesus Christ. What we need takes priority. What our body is telling us that we need, whether it is our shoes untied and so we need mom's attention, whether it is the candy that we've been so craving since, you know, we passed by Ms. Wendy's bowl of lollipops in the church and my mom didn't let me have one for like the first time in 10 million years after preschool. We need that lollipop. We need those things. And so we throw fits. We go crazy. We act bad because that's what we need in our lives. That's what will fill up that space. And we nag constantly at our parents and think that they are at our beck and call, that they are there simply to serve every need that we have, that they are there to fulfill every single whim and desire that we have. Because to be honest with you, parents, our children, and they don't know much else. Because as they're born and they're infants and then they progress into toddlers, you are their first conception of God that they ever have. You're the one who feeds them. You're the one who changes them. You're the one who nurtures them. You're the one who loves them. You're the one they go to when the big dog is running at them and they're scared. Just like we go to God when we're scared. Sometimes we forget about God until we're scared, until we need something. Then we go to God, and God is that figure. But until we can actively come to that maturity stage, our parents are God to us. Parents have a high value, and especially the mother in the early stages when that child bonds to their mother with such a clingy, such a nagging attitude. Adults might recognize it as something like this video clip, the way that sometimes we deal with our kids.
Lewis! 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 Mom! 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 Mommy! 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 Mama! 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 Ma! 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 Mom! 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 Mommy! Mommy! Mama! Mama! Mama!
What?
Hi.
Many of you have had that experience, haven't you? Our own kids are getting in that same phase where they are of the mom, 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 mom phase. And how many of us as children of God, we actually do that to God to some respect. We, God, 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 when there are certainly things that we are mature enough to take care of ourselves, when there are certainly things, and not that we shouldn't call on God for everything, but we sit there and we just say, hi, and then we run off to do whatever we want to. We enter God into that one equation where we feel like we need that affirmation of our attention, and then we leave again and we go do something else. But the thing I want to tell you today, and this is why I'm calling it nagging mothers versus nagging kids, is that mothers especially, but parents in general, you get to have just as much fun as Stewie does. You get to have just as much fun because I'm giving you full permission to nag your kids to death. Just the way that you did to your parents over and over again, and just the way your kids are doing right now. And let me tell you why. Because the truth of the matter is that parents need to nag their kids. The truth of the matter is that God needs to nag us. Now, this is called, in non-psychological, non-official terms, but only in David Lessner's mind, the nagging mother syndrome. And not all families are structured like this, but it's enough that a stereotype has developed that women are so much more on top of life than men are. And guys, I think you can probably agree with us because I have forgotten my own mother's birthday when my wife sent her a card that day, and I know that has happened on several different occasions in many other different families. They're on top of what needs to be clean. They're on top of when laundry needs to be done. They're on top of what food we have in the refrigerator. They're on top of my work schedule most of the time, more than I am. Women just have that sixth sense where they're more on top of life than men are, at least in terms of the home, at least in terms of the family, extended family, life. I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about life, of the things that happen. Now, not all families are like that. I want to recognize that there are men who are really, really good at this, but it's gotten enough attention that there's a stereotype of it, and it's the stereotype of the nagging mom versus the fun dad. Women, do you have this frustration at home? Yes, amen. Dads are the fun ones. We roughhouse, we play ball, and then we go off to work, and moms are left to deal with them. Or, and like I said, there are working moms. Not all people deal with this. And there are people that have dads who are wonderful at that, and the moms are the fun ones. It's not every situation, but it's enough that it's a stereotype. But I'll argue, though, that if you're the nagging mother or the nagging father, the nagging parent type of any sort, that you are closer to the love of God than the fun parents. Now, we don't like to hear that. We like to come here, we have a good time. We like to think God laughs all the time. We like to have a good time in Christianity because we are emotional. And if we're emotional, that means if we have fun, that means we experience God. And that's a dangerous situation because then I could just go out to the softball field, hit a couple home runs, which I always do, and all of a sudden I've had a great time and God was with me at that moment. Yes, was God with me? Absolutely. But is it more based on emotion rather than anything God wants me to do? Absolutely. And so the nagging parent comes in here because Romans 8, 1 through 4, this is what our mother God does for us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to spirit. And this is Paul's opinion on the subject as he goes on. Romans 8, 38 through 39. This is the text I want you to focus on today. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that sounds warm and loving and compassionate and someone who's always going to walk through the deserts of life with us. But you know what that is? Is that is the persistent, annoying, constantly pestering love of God that is displayed in a nagging parent. It's the God who is persistently close. As the Israelites are birthed by God's covenant with Abraham, God persistently was in Abraham's business, telling him where to go and what to do. But think of the alternative in that situation. Abraham is a nomad in the desert and establishing a kingdom with no end, and that's not going to go very well when everyone in your little camp is somehow related to you. As Israel is found in slavery in Egypt, God rescued them to the wilderness and gave them these very specific societal laws that are capitulated in the Ten Commandments to follow. And some say this is kind of like the nagging mom of Eat Your Vegetables and the God we don't like to follow, the God with rules, the God that forces us to do different things. And some say these laws are really strict and commanding, but what's the alternative in this situation where Israel is wandering in the desert? A bunch of whining Israelites wandering around without any direction in the desert, liable to go back to Egypt at any time, and making golden calves instead of possibly searching for water or food or something more life-giving than melting down all their gold. And that Old Testament God, the Old Testament God that is in the person of Jesus Christ, that's in the New Testament, gets a bad rap for actually enforcing all of these rules. How many of you have ever met the mother who says, if you do that one more time, I swear, and then the kid does it one more time, if you do that one more time, I swear, if you do that one more time, and then 30 minutes later, oh, just forget it. And you think, how can they let him get away with that? But God here enforces the rules, yet we all get mad about that. We all get mad that God holds his children, her children, to a standard and sending Israel into time out, Babylon, for a few decades. We all say that Old Testament God is just so mean, nagging. But think of the alternative. The Israelites can spend a few decades in Babylon, a kingdom which did not mass slaughter their prisoners or slaves or enemies because they just weaved them into their society. It was a political move. Or they can be left to their own selfishness, pride, and things that destroyed them to begin with, the sin and the greed and the power struggles, and they would have destroyed themselves internally and therefore have wasted away into nothing had God not nagged them enough to be persistent in loving them. I mean, what a nagging God that keeps getting in our business so much. Until finally God intervenes in our affairs to such an annoying, aggravating extent that God sends Jesus into our midst so that we might be free from the law and persecution, yet have a visible standard to grow into righteous, mature children who will one day be parents of people ourselves, whether to our own kids or people in our church family that we are mothers and fathers to. What an intrusive God to bear the weight of our pride and selfishness upon himself or herself that he might spiritually be free to see the bigger picture of love, grace, and responsibility. What a nagging God who will love us through thick and thin, regardless of how often we drive God absolutely crazy in our lives. A God who only wants the best for us, who continues to stick with us, who continues to bail us out, even when we can't see what trouble we're even in. Just the way you want it for your kids, just the way you treat your kids, and just the way your kids will want to treat their kids and have it for their kids. Parents who are nagging enough to stay with them, never give up on them, and love them to the end, no matter how much they drive them crazy. And hopefully, kids that turn out to appreciate the nagging their parents did, that turn them into the wonderful people they are today. And so I want to leave us with a flashback to the Real Men of Jesus sermon, if you remember the Real Men of Jesus, then I'm not going to sing. But here's to the nagging moms of the world. When Dad wants to take us to Arby's for the third straight night, you save us from early onset diabetes by making us eat our broccoli. When we want to stay up late to watch the end of the Avengers, you make us go to bed so that we will be wide awake for school the next day and actually learn something and fulfill our potential. And when we hit, kick, and punch, you do not turn the other way, but make us say we're sorry because you know that forgiveness is divine and relationships are more important than anything else in the whole world. And when we don't listen to you all day, have consistently said mom at the top of our lungs all day long, have made a mess of the house all day long, not giving you a hug when you got home from work, and in general refused to use the toilet as the vessel for our bowel movements, thank you, moms and mother figures, for showing us the ever-present love of God when you hug us after all of that and let us know that everything will be okay and we'll try better tomorrow. Let's pray. Gracious God, we have to be honest. There are times that we think your rules are annoying. There are times that the standards you set for life are not convenient with what we would like to do, and there are times when we would rather be doing other things. There are times when we probably annoy you. All this we call pride, and all this we call sinfulness. And we thank you that you are just as nagging as we are, if not more so. We thank you that you are just as persistent and ever-present as we are, that you have stuck with us side by side, and that you have given us people in our lives, our mothers, our fathers, our teachers, our parent figures, who have stuck with us side by side to turn us into the people that we are. Because, Lord, we've seen the alternative in this world from people who don't have mothers and fathers in their lives. And we weep for them and we seek to provide mentorship for those people, just as you have always stuck by us throughout all of Scripture and throughout all of life. And so, God, we appreciate when we pester you and you give us attention. But we're going to try and give you our full attention at all times, full obedience, full loyalty, and full promise, that we might be the children you want us to be and you have dreams for, that you have turned us loose to make the world a better place. And so guide us in those dreams, nag us until we fulfill them, and keep us on the straight and narrow until we become the mature followers of Christ that we have promised you that we'll be. And so it is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysunc.org. Have a blessed day.